This is Ludacris, and I'm here to tell you that your vote matters. It's time to get involved and make our voices heard. Exercise your right. First, go to iwillvote.com and make sure you're registered. See if you can vote early. In many places, you can vote ahead of Election Day, by mail or in person. Lastly, you can vote in person on Election Day, Tuesday, November 3rd. Vote for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Go to iwillvote.com to learn more.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yes, yes, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, we're back at it again. Yes,
once again,
back at it in the place to be, in your ear canal, spitting that shit.
Jubilantly,
jubilantly. I'm with that. How you doing, man? How you doing?
Everything good, man. Everything good. We out here living life.
That's what's up. I hear that.
How about you?
Living life, man. I'm chilling. I'm enjoying this shit, man. Right. Deliberately.
Did you get out the house yet? A little bit? A little something?
A little something. You know, a little something. Nothing super crazy.
What happened?
Yeah. Nowhere in particular. same old grocery store around the block. I haven't really been in the streets as of, not really. No, I'm still a little bit, slow on the re-entry.
Yeah, no doubt.
But that's coming.
Nah, yeah, but it might coming. Be, you know what I'm saying? Shit, they saying it's a second wave, a surge. So, You know, you might, you know, be already prepared for the next wave, you know?
Yeah, I already batten down them hatches. Them hatches stay batten down. Is that what it is, batten down? I don't even know how I only hear that when I hear batten down in the hatches. My hatch has been batten for a while. Yeah, man, I hope there ain't no second wave, but if so, shit, I think I'll be all right. You know, Lord willing.
Nah, no doubt.
You know, how's it going on out there, man? What's up?
Shit, man, you know, it's going. My brother-in-law, my sister's brother died, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and, my condolences, yeah.
Appreciate it, and, you know, and it's... I ain't, you know how it is when it's fresh, you know what I'm saying? It'd be a lot of conflicting reports, but you know what I'm saying? They saying a COVID related pneumonia scenario.
Ooh.
So you know.
Shit.
Yeah. Mm. So that I don't know if the second wave is real or whatever, but you know, this shit's still popping off out here.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. Yeah, so. It's tough.
Stay strapped up, you know what I'm saying? Stay, you know, get yourself, get tested.
That face on.
Yeah, get tested and, you know where you at with it.
You still get tested every week, huh?
Yeah, we get tested every week, you know.
So you got that no COVID confidence in the world.
No. It's not a confidence because you don't know where, you know, it's just like, how in the 80s you used to think AIDS could just jump on you, you know what I'm saying? Well, COVID kind of, you know what I'm saying, seems to be really able to just jump on you, you know what
I'm saying? Right. COVID really seemed to be living up to the hype.
Yeah. So, you know, I stay with the mask up even when I'm, you know, moving about, you know, I'm staying tight with the mask. And interesting thing, man, you know, interesting is like, you know, I was around him not too long ago, but you know, that particular moment, you know what I'm saying? I had my mask on and I kept it on, you know what I'm saying? Even my mother-in-law was like, why you got that mask on? I was like, well, you know, the real was cause, you know, my wife think I'm going to kill her mama. So I stay with her.
Right. You know, they want to say that.
But you know, so my wife don't go around my mama, you know what I'm saying? So
it'll be beef. It'll be real beef.
Then the mama was like, I invite who I want to my house. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, you know. But when I went, I took, you know, all my regular precautions like we take at the office. So kept my mask on, you know, I kept my distance and, you know. You know, so that was just weird, you know what I'm saying? Feel like, you know, you're dodging the COVID bullets, you know what I mean? So it's like, shit, you know?
Damn. So, was he sick when you saw him or was asymptomatic?
I can't say that he was, you know what I mean? I can't say that he was. You couldn't say that he wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It wasn't like he was laid out, you know what I'm saying? Sweating from a fever with the covers all, you know, it wasn't nothing like that.
Okay. But, you know. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so.
Damn, man.
But yeah, so, man. You know, rest in peace to Robert Jr., you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's crazy. So, so you know, that was the general what's happening right now tip.
Mm-hmm.
You
I
know?
Can dig it.
Yeah. But you know, it is, you know, on the flip side, there's, you know, good things happening too. So, you know, we'll get to those, you know.
Yeah, we're gonna get to it, man. I mean, I definitely saw on the internets.
Uh-huh.
I got tagged into some shit. Seems like you've been watching the Lovecraft Country situation.
Yeah, I'm done. I watched the whole shit.
Ah, okay. Well, shit. Yeah. I'm glad you did it. I didn't know for sure. I was like, damn, this nigga really hedging a heavy bet. He doing 9 hours, 10 hours. He gonna do it?
Yeah, I did the nine. I mean, I spaced it out a little bit too. You know what I'm saying? I did like three in a row. Then I came back, did maybe, you know what I'm saying, four. And then I did the last three. You know what I'm saying? On when it dropped Sunday. I think I did the last three Monday. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And knocked it all out last night. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There so I'm caught up. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you ready, I'm ready. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Down. You know what I'm saying?
We can get into it.
I was like, you know what I'm saying? Why Damien ain't tell me this shit was this good?
Nigga, I think you need to listen. I think you need to listen to somebody tripping.
He holding back. You know what I'm saying? Being all discreet with the information.
Nah, nigga, I think you gotta listen back to some episodes. I was like, fam, you need to fuck with this. This shit might be the best shit out right now. I don't wanna fuck it up.
I can hear the people yelling at the speaker. Nigga, that nigga told you 4 weeks in a row, nigga.
Right. What'd you think? Talk to me. What were your thoughts? Let's get into
First of all, I enjoyed the sheer audacity of just the blackness of it all. You know what I'm saying? Like the portrayals of history, the subliminals of the names. You know what I'm saying? Just how they did the whole shit and in the storytelling. And it was like, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you get a story that complex, the way that they was doing this sci-fi historical narrative all blended together, you know what I'm saying? You usually get a lot of gaps in the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a lot of gaps in the story, man. They did a great job, man, to be able to entertain, educate, and keep that shit black, you know, all at the same time. You know what I'm saying? We really don't get those kind of jewels in Hollywood and media that often. You know what I'm saying? You get some of the, you know, the stereotypical tropes. You'll get, you know what I'm saying, some good stories here and some good stories there. You might get a good storyline within another story. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't watch Watchmen, so I can't really say how far that went. But I know in this one, they were very thorough and you know, being they didn't take no shorts in the intelligence or like the smartness of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, I don't even feel qualified enough to break the whole shit down, because it's a lot of literature that I haven't read that was referenced. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even qualified to break that shit down all the way, but I would do what I do once, you know, I get the time to do it. You know what I'm saying? So now that I know what you were talking about, what were you trying to tell me?
As far as, what do you mean?
Just the storyline. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you broke down a whole lot of shit, and I'm gonna break down a whole lot of shit. But from your perspective, what did you take from it?
Similar to you, you know, I didn't do a lot of like the supplemental reading or, you know, going into some of the references. Some of them, if I caught an Easter egg here or there, like, I, you know, I did some, you know, like cursory like reviews. Like, I obviously sometimes I would fuck with the podcast that they got. The you know, they got one. There's a couple others. There's been, you know, there's been little groups where they'll be talking about, you know, past episodes and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So I checked that out. But honestly, probably by the second episode, and I think I said this before, by the second episode, I just strapped in and let that shit take me wherever. You right. know what I mean? Like, I just right. was, I was open to it all. I realized that they were super expansive with what they were doing. And to your right. point, like, they were covering a lot of ground. There's a bunch of different things that they would do and different mm-hmm. things that would be coming at you and shit like that. And it right. was just like, I was just there for it. I was all in. I was, and every episode felt like a fucking adventure, and it was the shit each time.
And that's funny because you are very against suspending your imagination and shit for some
yeah,
TV.
Yeah.
You know what I'm yeah. saying? You like, man, I'm not doing it. You know what I'm saying? That's asking yeah. a lot to suspend my animation to believe that, you know what I'm saying, these warlocks are coming out the ground on you.
Right.
But
right, true.
So that says a lot that they were able to capture your attention and lock you in, you know what I'm saying? What you think it was that allowed them to bypass your suspended animation bylaws?
Let them pass the rope.
Yeah.
I think it could be a combination of a couple things. I think I respected the sheer audacity and the blackness of it. You right. know, like if black people are trying to push the envelope, I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm with you. I'm complicit. Let's go. I want to see how far we can take. Now, if this was maybe some other shit, and I'm not even going to say that, because in a minute I'm gonna talk a little bit about Game of Thrones, and I'm not sure had I started. I think I was watching Lovecraft before I jumped into Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if the shit is done well, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, fuck it. And maybe, you know what? You know what? If I'm thinking about it, if I'm really being heady about this shit, maybe it's COVID. Mm. Maybe COVID was so much that your ass had to just sit down and, you know what I mean? Just be in this situation that you have no control of, mm-hmm. that you kind of find a bit of comfort in the fact that you don't really have control of much. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to give these people your attention, then don't be stingy with it. Go all in. Like, get the maximum benefit out of that shit. So mm-hmm. that's, I think that's probably what it is. And maybe that's how I am moving forward. Maybe I'm a little less resistant. Maybe I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, man. Let's see what this shit is all about.
Right.
You know
right,
what
right.
I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's the probably the three, the combination of all of that.
Right. And so for me, okay. You know what I'm saying? It drew me in just off of the setting itself. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's based in the 50s, which to me is always symbolic of the whitest of times. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The happiest of white times, like happy days, were based on the 50s. Sock hops, brown cars, drive-in fucking restaurants with the skates, and you know they was having a great time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, TV, when music started hitting TV and shit like that, you know, rocking, the beginnings of rock and roll, like they was having a ball. You know what I'm saying? And so anytime somebody references the 50s, it always brings about this feeling of dread, of trauma. You know what I'm saying? Because also in the 50s there was a lot of hanging niggas, and, you know what I'm saying, and burning crosses and all that kind of shit going on in the movies that we've seen growing up. So anytime you seen the 50s in those round cars, it was a bad look. You know what I'm saying? So
sad times.
It was sad yeah. times. You know what I'm saying? It was a bad look when you see them rounded ass big cars. So they said it in the 50s, which, like I said, was the whitest of times. But then based in Chicago, which is like one of the blackest of cities. You know what I'm saying? So I was already intrigued just by those two facts that, okay, this shit set in Chicago in the 50s. Okay, this, oh, it's on. You know what I'm saying? So you already know it's going to be some race tension and it's going to be some black action. And so, you know what I'm saying? I look forward to seeing what it was all about from there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, for me, if I had to kind of describe it to somebody who never seen it, it's kind of like Stranger Things, except for grown black people, for the most part, on these missions trying to figure this shit out. Meets Stranger Things meets like the Essence Fest set in the 50s, except for, you know what I'm saying? and not the Essence Fest in that the concerts, you know what I'm saying? But like in
the blackness.
Yeah, the blackness and how Essence, they congregate, they bring all of the black excellence or the black minds or, you know what I'm saying, the people who wrote books, they got the people who performing, you got the people who hosting shit, you got people who are doing book signings and launch events. So they, Essence, like, congregates all of these different black talents in one space, and then all the black people come to see them. You know what I'm saying? It's like Essence Fest is like, you, Tyrese is going to always be celebrated. You know what I'm saying? You know, Gail King and those, like, all of those people, they're going to be there. Like, all of the people who are doing things in the black community, they're going to all be somewhere in and around the Essence Fest. You know what I'm saying? And it's not many events that does that. You know what I'm saying? At that scale. And then it's also a good-ass time. You know what I'm saying? So it's like those two things, like Stranger Things meets the Essence Fest. Because in the show, what they do is they not only give you the characters of the show, they give you these sub-characters who are based around historical figures. You know what I mean? So they might not go into it. They might not say it, except they went into the Emmett Till story. But like when she opened the boarding house and shit, you know what I'm saying? It was like, yeah, this is James. You know what I'm saying? He just wrote this novel. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, oh, mm-hmm. This is James Baldwin. Okay, cool. And this is Martin. You know what I'm saying? No, this is such and such, but he just changed his name to Martin. He's a preacher down there. I'm like, oh. So they plugging in all these historical figures within this story without actually, you know what I'm saying, taking you into all of the story. It's like like the Harlem Renaissance in this piece. Because you got all these people here together that are going to be big names and big to the right. culture. You know what I'm saying? So in that sense, I respected the whole situation because it's like, damn, I see what they doing. They teaching and they giving you a story that you can be entertained by and follow along with.
Yeah, to that point too, because honestly, how they did it is basically how we'll probably be in that real time, right? So You might be in a boarding house with James Baldwin and he wrote a book. Mm-hmm. And he, you know what I mean? Like, it was dope. That's your homie that wrote a book. But that's right. Still your homie. Like, you know him. He's still, this is still at the beginning of his journey. This is before he becomes celebrated and iconic, before he dies, before everybody, like, has gone on about his impact. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was having a conversation about this with a friend of mine today. Like, depending on, you know, where you are in your realm, like if you work in the arts or whatever, right? If you work with fancy, I was talking to another comedian. I was like, yo, there's comedians that are gonna be iconic that are our peers now. But when, you know, the benefit of time hits and you look back, or just like when you talk to younger people, some of the shit that you've lived is iconic to them. Like, you know, mm-hmm. the fact that you were actually at a Freaknik, or the fact that you remember, you know what I'm saying? They're like, wow, you were there. You know what right. I'm saying? Because all of the history now has built up and people have talked about it, and it's been, you know, like it's been ruminated about and whatever. It's become historic. In that moment, that's just James that live on the third floor. This nigga actually behind on the rent. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to give him a little love because he wrote a decent book.
Right.
But he needs to get my $50. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? You know? So I think that was kind of cool because it's, and it also just shows, like, if we just bring it to modern day,
mm-hmm.
it kind of gives you the, it kind of reminds you of the capacity for people to be great in the moment.
Right.
That, you know what I mean? Just doing some regular shit. You know what right. I'm saying? Just not even doing some regular shit because it's great, but just doing what they're driven to do. You mm-hmm. know, sometimes you might not be as celebrated in that moment, you know, until later on, or the impact of what you've done mm-hmm. or what you have done may not be as profound in the same moment that you live in.
Right.
But if it's some shit, it's going to stand the test of time. We'll talk about that a little later, but go right. ahead. Keep going, bro.
Nah, but that's just like the guy who, you know what I'm saying, the H.P. Lovecraft guy who kind of started that whole movement of this type of storytelling. He wasn't mm-hmm. celebrated as much when he was alive. You know what I'm saying? He mm-hmm. died broke. You know what I'm saying? But he did create a group of people who were very adamant about telling these types of stories. And I just found this out because I had to look it up after I watched the show. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, shit, let me see what was this all about. You know what I'm saying? Because this is new kind of storytelling to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been involved with this kind of sci-fi. You know what I'm saying? Basically, this shit was like black nerd core, and it didn't let up. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't mm-hmm. ashamed to be super, super intelligent and smart about, you know, the right. characters and what they did and how they did it. And, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I loved it. Like, I love the way they integrated, you know what I'm saying, the Green Book into the whole play, you know, mm-hmm. as you know what I'm saying, the Negro traveling guide, you know, mm-hmm. without saying it's the Green Book, it's the Green Book shit that existed in real life and they putting it in here and making it a part of a fictional story. Better, I guess, than the movie Green Book did itself, you know,
mm-hmm.
to me, you know yeah. what I'm saying? Because you didn't have right. to, it wasn't as weighted. It wasn't as his story about the Green Book. It was a story about people. And you know what I'm saying? Right. And that guy happened to do the Green Book, you know, right. and was also fascinated with fantasy stories and reading and literature and all that shit. You know what I mean? I like that they made it a point to, you know, identify this particular group of people as people who weren't slaves. They were here in America somehow, but they weren't slaves. They weren't descendant of slaves. So, you know, that was a interesting point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when you start talking like that and you start talking about people who are well-read and that it gets to, like, them being bougie or, like, you know, them being separate from everybody else. You know what I'm saying? But even within that whole group of people, you had these family dynamics that was still some, you know what I'm saying, regular people shit, you know? You know, one brother cheated with the other brother's wife. I mean, oh, I don't mean to drop no spoilers. I hope we said no spoilers up top, but I think we didn't. But, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, but go ahead. Just,
you know what I'm saying? You had family dynamics that were reminiscent of a normal family. It wasn't like they created this family that was so much higher than everybody else and, you know, was super good and, you know, they were super smart. You know what I'm saying? Most stories, when you start getting that way, they start separating the people in the classes like that. And it wasn't right. like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they make it accessible. Like, it's just like, you know, kind of how you were talking about the 50s for white people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like if you was white, you were having a great time. You know right. what I mean? Like, there was obviously the rich and poor and all of that, but when you turn on Happy Days, it just felt like anybody could probably walk up in that little diner, you right. know what I mean? White folks, and enjoy themselves, have a burger, right. see the Fonz, whatever. This shit right. felt very accessible. These right. felt like people that you would know. Mm-hmm. And if they were brilliant or if they were brave or if they were, you know, doing some wild shit, they were still in arm's reach. They were still right. of the community, you right. know?
And like, go ahead. Now, one of those things, what you said about, you know what I'm saying, it being accessible. Happy Days, and when they talk about the 50s, they make it really accessible. It's not all about being rich or nothing like that. Even the regular kids, like, blue jeans and white t-shirts rolled up with a pack of Marlboro. That was like a regular old person. It wasn't even like no rich person. You know what I mean? It was just like the regular white boy was the iconic figure for America. That was the white boy we had to look at and say, this is America. This is what America does. And you had to watch that shit and be like, well, damn, I don't know nobody like that. You know what I'm saying? We don't do no shit like that. You know what I'm saying? That ain't our little thing. But that's one of the things they touched on in the show, how everybody had to look at, you know what I'm saying, the Americana of it all, and that was our entertainment, even all the way in Korea. You know what I'm saying? They took all of these different characters and showed how each one of them was displaced within the world, whether it be as a black man, as a black woman, as a Asian woman in a whole nother country, even as a white woman in a male-driven society. So they kind of put everything on an equal plane and told all of those stories of how each one of those people were disenfranchised in this society, which was dope because you never really get to see it like that in one place.
So let me ask you this. What were your top three favorite episodes?
Man, I cried on the Tulsa episode.
Mm.
I cried tears, like, for real.
What else would you cry?
I'm just saying, you know how sometimes you get the little welling up of your eyes and shit. You hold your head back and, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then sometimes them shits just fall. I was like, damn. Them shits just
fell. What was it about that?
Because you could just feel the fucking trauma in your DNA of how you just chilling, minding your own black ass business, and these motherfuckers just running through the town, burning shit down. You know what I'm saying? Your shit, not businesses. You know what I'm saying? They burning down houses and killing people with, you know what I'm saying? Just because you black. You know what I'm saying? And that wasn't the only place that happened. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a story that is just now getting its due and being told. But you know what I'm saying, you killing, you know what I'm saying, you burning down all of the businesses, whatever, however many blocks, 30 blocks of houses and businesses, like, and then that's just it. Like, everything you knew is gone. All the people you knew are gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole, basically in this story, their family history is gone, and it's just three young people left. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Out of everybody. Like, you could feel, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as a black person, you understand what it feels like to be kind of targeted or looked at as an enemy, and just to watch it play out. You know what I'm saying? And they didn't go through the whole series of how it all started, because for these people, this had nothing to do with how it started. It was just you chilling at home, minding your own goddamn business. And, you know what I'm saying, they come through burning crosses and throwing shit through your window and shit. You know what I'm saying? Shit, man. Dropping bombs from planes. It was traumatic. Mm-hmm. And whatever it was, whatever it touched in my whole spirit and my DNA, it struck a nerve. And I cried, man.
Mm. So I don't even
remember the last time I cried.
Really? So you needed that. One of those.
Nah, It wasn't one of them.
Yeah, it wasn't over the top. It was poignant. It was a Denzel ass cry.
It was a visceral cry. It just dropped out of nowhere. Like, it wasn't
hilarious.
It didn't. I ain't sob. They got to reclaim some of your manliness in this man-driven world.
You don't want to put that much vulnerability on the table. You're like, hold on, let me get back a few dollars of vulnerability. You're like,
I might need Letty.
You're like Letty.
Really?
I got to be invulnerable. Shit. So okay. Yeah. So that's one. What else? What else? What else you got?
Episode wise, I like the episode where she traveled in time, you know what I'm saying? Across
Hippolyta?
You know, Hippolyta was doing her timeline jumps, going over here and going over there. I like that because, you know what I'm saying, it was a visual representation of the shit that I'm trying to do with myself and within myself. And it's working, You know what I'm saying? It's working. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a visual representation like she had. Like, you could go here and you see a lady with a big afro, and she, you know what I mean? But I can understand it. I think that's why we ended up talking about this on a previous episode when you said something about the supernatural. And but I wasn't watching the show yet, but you touched on that topic. But as I watched it, you know what I'm saying, I identified with it because what I'm trying to do within my own spirit and my own timelines and shit is equivalent to what she actually was able to do, jumping through the portal, but I ain't got no machines and no, I ain't had to go Raiders of the Lost Ark to get no key and all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just, you know, just tapped in, you know? But it's something that I feel works, you know what I'm saying? You go back to a certain space in yourself and then change it, you know what I mean? And it's not traveling through time per se, but it's almost like that to me. And I don't really know how to explain it. I don't have the vocabulary to explain it. But when you go to a certain space in your time that you really didn't pay that much attention to and you're able to pay attention to it, grab some nuggets, and then jump back over to where you at in the present to help yourself, that's time travel some kind of way.
It recontextualizes a lot of things too. Yeah. You can kind of trace back maybe why you behave one way based on an event that happened way back in the day.
And it could have just been a small nugget. Just like when they went back to Tulsa and they was just seeing these small little things that's like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you take that look, if you take a deeper look from a calmer state with the intent to do it, you can do that same shit in your real life right now. It's like that shit look like science fiction like a motherfucker because it's all acted out with actors and big budgets and, you know what I'm saying? But you could do that shit in real life with minus the budget and the drama. So I identify with that episode. What was you said 3? Three. I guess the when she bought the house and she had the grand vision of making that shit a boarding house in the middle. That shit might have been a problem in any neighborhood, let alone a black lady moving into a white neighborhood for the first time and then just bringing a boarding house full of cats. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? She was very ambitious and she was, you know what I'm saying? She represented a certain type of freedom that I think a lot of women in the movement are, you know what I'm saying, fighting to get that recognition of that type of freedom. You know, she was, to me, Letty was like Suge Avery, but her story wasn't based on being able to charm men. You know what I'm saying? Her story was based on her own talents and her own bravery and her own freedom of just, you know what I'm saying, throwing caution to the wind. You know what I'm saying? She was always the first one in, you know what I'm saying, last one out. You know,
right.
She, you know what I'm saying? When it was a mission, she was in first. My favorite scene was when, you know what I'm saying, they was in the restaurant trying to eat in the white people restaurant, and she peeped out the scenario like, oh shit, it's time to go, and she came through running. We got to get the fuck up out of here.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Jump behind the wheel, and women, black women, I guess, I don't know if it's just women or black women, wasn't supposed to drive in that era because they said that in one part of the script was like, you know I ain't supposed to drive, but shit, you know what I'm saying? But she jumped behind the wheel and she was the getaway driver, you know what I'm saying? Her character represented that type of leadership and freedom and bravery, you know what I'm saying, in a woman.
Yeah, she was bold. She was super bold, like, all the way through that. Like, even how she, because there's that one moment in that same episode where she kind of, she introduces herself in that way where it's like, hold on a second. I just want to make sure that I'm getting the exact, the first and last name, but there's a part where I think it's Courtney B. Vance
mm-hmm.
who kind of, you know, in that moment, they still kind of getting to know each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she got the whip, she's driving the shit. And what is going on here? I'm trying to IMDb this shit just so I can get the whole shit. But
George for the sake is the of, character.
No, not George.
Oh.
But when he's like, yo, hold on, y'all. He's kind of like, he's talking to her. Why the fuck is it giving me everything that I don't need? The shit is not letting me see the actual character page.
But what,
I'm just drawing. But basically,
what's the setup,
she
though?
Says, the whole part is, she's driving that shit, and he keep calling her, yo, what's up with this girl? That girl, da-da-da-da-da. Right. And she's like, motherfucker, I'm Letitia. I don't know if her last name was James.
Lewis.
I might be getting Letitia Lewis, because I'm getting confused, I think, with a Brooklyn congresswoman.
Yes.
But she's like, I'm Letitia Lewis, motherfucker. Like, and it was just like, that was it. Like, that set the tone for who she was.
Right.
Because the way she even operated, even on a certain level, it might be too bold for people now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no
she
doubt.
She was a visionary. She was bold. She was herself. She didn't tamp herself down at any point. She was who she was going to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and didn't really yield to nobody. So
right. And
I it, always appreciated that.
And it wasn't out of just because that's what I'm just, I ain't going to yield. It was, she was actually solving problems. She was actually in the fight. You know what I'm saying? She was going to jump in the fray and get shit done. So, you know what I'm saying? It was it was not for naught. It wasn't just for style. It wasn't just for I just do what I want. I say what I want. It's
right.
I'm out here in the world. You know what I mean? I'm
yeah.
doing what I do. I left where I came from, went out in the world. You know what I'm saying? It was a dope photographer. You know what I'm saying? I met a bunch of, you know, cool people around the world, talented people, and I don't fit in to the regular mode, and I'm not gonna do the regular mode shit. And that right. shit is cool, man, woman, or child. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times when a woman is that way, it's not as celebrated as when a man is that way. You know what I'm saying? Until they break all the way the fuck through and become who they become. But along the way, people think you know what I'm saying, you a fuck up. People think, you know what I'm saying? People think all this kind of stuff. Like, you need to stay in your lane.
Tamed.
Getting, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Get a job.
A disruptor.
Get married. You know what I'm saying? Do all this stuff. And, you know, some people are built to roam and explore and be who they are. Explore who they are, you know?
Yeah. My three, if I had to do the top three, I think I like the episode where Ruby becomes this white woman and she works in that, Marshall Fields, I think, when mm-hmm. she works in the store and she kind of goes back and forth. And I think that shit was just ill on so many different levels. Just kind of just how you looking at and how it started, you didn't even realize what was happening.
Right.
So when she runs out she wakes up as this white woman and she runs out into the street, the way like the black people kind of give her space, they be mm-hmm. backing away from her, but she's a black woman. She's still looking at these as her people.
Right.
And they fearful of her. They don't want to, you know what I mean? I think it's even a point where, you know, I think she knock a boy down or a boy knocks her down or something. The cops pull up ready to
Emmett Till his ass.
Right, to get it to, you know what I mean, going full assault mode. And she's like, chill. You know, nah, it's all good. You know, basically, it's all good. You know, you don't got to go that hard. Show some restraint. Now, had that just been a black woman, they'd have been like, all right, out the way, whatever, and done what they came to do.
Yeah, they would have took her ass to jail.
Right. But as a white woman, it was just like, it just starts to show the shit. It kind of reminded me of, you know, obviously on a way lighter note, but it was reminiscent of the whole Eddie Murphy sketch back in the days when he was a white man.
Right.
He's in the world. And then just visually seeing her morph and like the fucking skin peeling away and mm-hmm. falling off and the blood and all of that shit. That was some fly shit. Like, that was some old real gory sci-fi shit.
It was gory.
That,
it was fly it was in execution, but that shit was nasty as fuck.
It was gory as shit. So you see that. Even the way, like, just kind of how they would try to leverage the proximity to black people. It's like, yo, take us down to the south side of Chicago so we can meet some men. You know what I mean? So we could meet, we could go to the dance. Can you get us in? Can you, you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of real culture vulturous. You know what I mean? So that one, I like that episode a lot. Mm-hmm. You spoke about it, but I like the Hippolyta where she's going through, you know, time and realm after realm, and she's dancing with Josephine Baker, and she's smoking weed and sniffing coke and wilding out, and then she's on some old some black woman Sparta 300 shit, and they busting ass out there. You know, I thought that was fire.
But you know what I'm saying, that probably was a historical reference to the women that the Black Panther warriors were based on. You see what I'm saying?
Maybe, I'm not sure.
You see, the Black Panther Warriors was based on a real group of women in Africa that were warriors. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you mean Black Panther, the movie. Black I'm Panther, thinking Black the Panther, the group. Okay.
No, the movie. The movie Black Panther that had the women warriors. They were based on the actual tribe of women warriors in Africa. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it seems like that she jumped into that timeline of those women warriors. So, you know what I'm saying? It's all, you know, it's reinforcing a lot of different ideas.
Yeah. And then my final one, I like the Diane episode with them little the fucking jigaboos, the whatever, the little.
Yeah, you talked about that.
Yeah, that shit was just ill. Again, like this, the choreography of it, how they came across, how spooky and weird they looked. And, you know, it was a wild little episode. So,
right.
Yeah, those are my top
three. But it was weird. I'm still trying to figure out, you know what I'm saying, why that she turned into those, you know what I'm saying? And it was a curse by the white police. Do the white police make you a jig? You know what I'm saying? They want you to be a jig? Or, you know what I'm saying? Are you, you know what I mean? Well, what is it about those jigs and the police that connected? That's what I'm still trying to figure out. But yeah. Her whole storyline was cool because she was Emmett Till's best friend. You know what I'm saying? And it, just how they did that whole shit was just ill, man. They told a hell of a story, man. They told a hell of a story with this shit. But the crazy shit is I didn't come up with this on my own. I saw it on the online thread that Hippolyta, the mother of Diana, was the same as Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was Diana, her mother was Hippolyta in that whole series. So
the Amazon women.
Yeah, the Amazon women. So, you know what I'm saying? It was interesting that they made that connection. Like so many things, and like it's so many, like you would have to go watch it again just to get more of the references, but it's so many references in there that, you know, were a trip. But did you catch, you know what I'm saying? This is another spoiler type of scenario. In the end, when Diana, you know, crushed the Christina Brathwaite's throat, you know what I'm saying, with the mechanical arm, did you notice that when Tick came back through the portal with the book, the Lovecraft Country book, that he said that a hooded woman with a mechanical arm, with a robotic arm, gave him the book?
Nah, I didn't catch that. Yeah. When he was sitting on the curb talking to Montrose?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He said that a hooded woman with a mechanical arm gave him the book and pushed him back through the portal. So that could be Diana pushing, you know what I'm saying, pushing from the future, pushing him back through to save her and everybody else. Shit is crazy. There's so many motherfucking twists and turns to go back and deliberate.
Yeah, it's a lot, which makes it even, that's what makes it so dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are those type of series where, like, there's all of the supplemental shit to look into, because I've also heard people saying that the Diana character at the end was like an allusion to Darth Vader. You hear all types of wild shit, so you gotta go back and check it out, which makes it even more enriching because it doesn't really stop. Right. I got a question though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a one and done, or you think it's gonna be another season? I think it might be a one and done.
It could be a one and done, but you know, capitalism. You know what I'm saying? May look at it another way. I don't know. If it's a one and done, I'm satisfied. You know what I'm saying? I would love to see more, but I would hate to see it play out. You know what I'm saying? I would hate to see it be diluted. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how long it took to develop the storyline that they had, and I'm not sure how closely it's related to the actual book, but they did it, dog. They did it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't realize, H.P. Lovecraft is a racist, though.
That's he might have been, but I don't think, yeah, no, I don't think that this particular storyline is based on him. You know what I'm saying? It's actually another guy that wrote a book called Lovecraft Country that is more based on. So, you know, he was in the 30s and 40s. Or I don't know when was with Lovecraft. Shit,
it was common.
Racism was the law. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was white in that era. Shit, I'm sure he was racist.
No, it is. He was. I'm telling you.
Where'd you hear that?
Journey Smollett said that. This is the reason why I feel like it might just be a one and done.
Mm-hmm.
She was on Questlove Supreme this past week,
mm-hmm.
and they were going through it, and she kind of hinted that this might be it. It could go either way, but kind of hinted that it might be it because, you know, given also the fact that, like, if you look at shows like Power, P-Valley, whatever the case, a bunch of these shows, it's like by like week two, week three, they saying, yo, season two has been greenlit. It's definitely coming. You know what I'm saying? And that's just based off of performance.
Right.
I believe that this shit had the same level of eyes, if not more,
right,
than all those other shows. So if there was intended to be a second season, that would have been announced by then. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. And, you know, because shit, like, and it's not like uncommon for that to happen because I feel like that's what they're doing with Watchmen. I think Watchmen is a one and done.
Yeah, Watchmen is a one and done. And see, okay, this joint is the novel that is based off of is by Matt Ruff, which came out in 2016. So
yeah.
Matt Ruff is a white guy. He might be racist. He might not be. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like Lovecraft. The interesting thing about H.P. Lovecraft, which probably is why he might be turning in his grave, because he made his stuff open source. It was like anybody could take from it and build upon it. Like, he wasn't tripping. You know what I'm saying? He intended it to be for stories to be built off of the shit that he created. So, you know, he might not have intended that, you know what I'm saying, black people would take it or somebody would take it and make it a black story. But that speaks to this story itself when they brought Titus back. And he was like, well, who the fuck are you using the book and the magic? You know what I'm saying? This wasn't meant for black people. What is your black ass doing here bringing me back? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a nod to H.P. Lovecraft, the racist. You know what I'm saying?
And I think they say it actually in the I think they say it in the first episode.
What they say?
They say he's racist.
Right.
They say something to that effect that he's racist. Like they say.
No doubt.
They say that's it what in I'm the saying. First episode.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. In the last episode, them bringing Titus back might be a nod to using the racist's work. You know what I'm saying? Against him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Who's
Titus?
Titus was the guy who started the magic shit that had the baby with the black lady who was kept running out the house. You know what I'm saying? The ancestor that linked Tick to Christina.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So Titus, when they brought him back up in the end, and then he was like, what the fuck? Why'd you bring me back up? You know what I mean?
Oh, right. He's in the circle.
And then he's like, and who are you? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, all these black people, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm your ancestor player. And then he's like, God damn it, Hattie. This wasn't meant for you.
Because then at the end, when the spell is going through, they say explicitly, it's like they got rid of all the white people.
They're saying that, she said that, she took the magic not just from Christina, but from all white people.
Oh, I thought she said they got rid of all
white people. They said they took the magic away from all white people.
Oh, okay.
So basically, that one lady that was having an affair with Titus, her her bloodline saved the book, and the book was able to save her bloodline, and then they were able to take the magic away from all the white people so that black people could live goddamn in their own space and be comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
So wait, so that one lady that you always see in the burning house, that's the one that had the affair with Titus?
Yeah, she the one, she was pregnant. She was pregnant when she was running out of the house, and she was the only one that survived.
Right. Okay. Got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of. It's a lot of. It's almost like you got to do the knowledge. You could study this.
Yeah. You got to do the knowledge. Now you got to do the knowledge in this shit. You ain't just finna just skim through it.
This would be a good. This would be a good little material for like a college course, like or like one of these you know film crit courses where they kind of just sit down and break down some shit. Like I could see this shit being in some type of classroom where everybody got their own theories and things of that nature, because I'm seeing it unfold already on the internet and certain apps and shit like that. So it's pretty ill,
and it's dope. It's dope to see in the black community us having something that we could dig through the layers and the layers and the layers. But go ahead.
Right. Speaking of now, this ain't the black community, but so I just finally finished season 3 of Game of Thrones, right? And again, like, I don't really like to talk too much about it because this is the thing. I don't want to really bring up characters that I'm fucking with because, not that you would do it intentionally, but just the way you may respond when I bring up somebody, it might indicate if they died or not. If I bring up somebody, you'd be like, what?
No, I'm not going to indicate if he died. I was just going to indicate if I fuck with him or not.
Right, but you might not even know that you do it in a way that you'd be like,
you think I'm going to give it away? You could talk to me.
Well, if... Nah. Because, I mean, it already kind of happened when I brought up somebody. You was like, wait, which cat? And then you had to think back. So I know, obviously, this motherfucker didn't make it to the later seasons. Anyway, I tell you this. I tell you what was fucking dope real fast. So I finally saw the Red Wedding episode, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is the thing. Like, again, I didn't watch the show, but
this late D on the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Certain shit is it just transcended culture. Mm-hmm. Like you would hear about, you know how there's certain, before I even seen Color Purple, I knew you told Harpo to beat me. Right, you know what I mean? Because it just made it into the zeitgeist.
Right.
So everybody was like, oh, that Red Wedding episode, crazy, the Red Wedding, da-da-da-da-da. So I'd always heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that the episode is not called The Red Wedding.
Right.
Like, I ain't know that. So the episode's not called The Red Wedding, which was beautiful because...
You ain't know it's coming.
I didn't know it was kind of, I didn't see the shit coming at all. So that shit, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And that shit was such a dope episode. First of all, even before it even went down, there's one thing that I mean, just to point out, like, there's so much shit going on in Game of Thrones that I appreciate. And we'll really get into it as I get further along. Like, I'll revisit, but I just want to talk about this in particular. There's so many, like, just funny moments in Game of Thrones. In particular, in this episode where Lord Fry, you know, he's bringing his daughter down the aisle.
Walder Frey.
Yeah, I don't know why I call him Lord. Walder Frey's bringing his daughter down the aisle and shit, and she's in a cloak. You know what I mean? And we done seen he introduced all his daughters.
All his ugly ass.
Yeah. So you like, all right, damn. So basically, you kind of, like, they building that little bit of suspense, you know what I mean? His man at the front, the Lord at the front is like, I'm biting the bullet, you know what I'm saying? And then they pull through, and then it's the reveal, and oh, shit, she all right. She all right, she cute.
You know what I'm saying?
She cute, right? So then,
hold on. So then what was so funny was his man was like, oh shit. But then the look that Walter Frey gave Rob Stark, like, nigga, I told you, I might have had one for you. You know what I mean? Like, you fucked up. I had something nice for you.
Fucked up.
Oh, dog, that shit made me laugh, dude. That was such a funny shit.
Yeah, because Rob ain't want no parts of that shit. You know what I'm saying? He, you know what I mean? He bet it all on it, on love as opposed to business. When his mama was like, man, you need to handle this business, man, because you gave your word. You like, man, fuck that. I ain't marrying one of them ugly ass motherfuckers. Got my own.
That shit was fun. That shit was funny. And then what was so ill, just how the turn happened. You know what I mean? Like, and the only reason was two reasons that I kind of, not that I caught the turn, but I may have caught the turn a little earlier, is I've been going back and forth with it, but I ain't going to lie. I'm getting to that age where I've been watching. I watch the TV with the captions on.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you can't hear all that shit. So
I watched the whole fucking Lovecraft with the captions, nigga. You got to, because you can't miss shit.
Yeah, you don't want to miss anything. So I got the captions on, and in the episode prior, you hear the story about the song "The Reigns of Castamere." Reigns of Castamere. Right?
That's a Lannister joint.
Yeah. So basically, there's that point where the band starts playing that shit, and then Stark's mom's Catelyn, she looks up like she look up like,
why the fuck they playing that shit?
Like the DJ playing some bullshit.
Like, you know, how them rappers be when the DJ play a song with the crew you beefing with and shit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, motherfucking Ja Rule in the club and they play 50 Cent. And that shit's a problem. DJ get beat up. That's how that shit was. How you playing the Lannister shit up in here? Nigga, we from the north.
Yeah, so then it was that point, and then when she flipped the motherfucker's sleeve and saw that he had the chainmail on, and then slapped the shit out that nigga like, wow, and it was like, Rob, shit about to jump off. And then they
wake up, nigga.
They got busy. They got busy on it. They stabbed up his lady in the pregnant belly. It got brutal.
Yeah, that shit was fucked up, man.
So yeah, man, I'm in the midst of this. I'm enjoying this this Game of Thrones run, man. It's definitely all it's been hyped up to be. You know what I mean? I'm definitely way late on it, but I feel like I'm still on time.
No doubt. So you got to get in when you get in. Shit, it ain't, you know, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, it's cool. You know what else is good, though? And it's not too far along. Fargo. I've been saying that. I don't know if you get a chance to check that shit out, but Fargo's been fucking good this season.
I guess that's next, because this shit is done and shit, you know what I'm saying? So Fargo is next. I'll go check out Fargo. I don't even know where that's at and what, you know what I mean? But how many I need to catch up, but I could check it out and see where it's at.
Yeah, it's probably maybe four episodes in. Each Fargo season is its own independent thing, so it's not one of these things where you got to watch all of the other seasons. You could just watch this season independent. This is the Chris Rock season.
Okay.
It's probably about four episodes in. It's on FX. Shit is good. I would like you to check it out if you catch into it, because then we could chop it up.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. See, I got to figure out how to do my Hulu shit, because that shit don't work. That shit only work when you're in your own house in New York, and I'm in Atlanta, either. Really? I'm going to have to do another trial for another account, because they don't let you move around with that shit. That's some fucked up shit.
What you mean?
Because, like, it might work for the effects, just the backstories, but, like, the live, it don't let you take it house to house. You know what I'm saying? Like, Netflix and all that shit.
Interesting.
That shit only lets you, that shit only lets you do it on one Wi-Fi, and then when you move to the next, you had to switch it over, but they said, I done switched it over too many times. Nigga, you done. So, here's what it is. So, I check it out. I'll figure out how to get it. You know what I'm saying? I'll just start a new trial or some shit like that and watch the Fargo.
Yeah. You might still be able to watch it without doing a new trial, because it's not live. Like, it's on, like, FX is on Hulu. Like, they got a FX on Hulu shit. So, you might just be able to just watch
once they come up, like the day after they up there for streaming.
So okay.
It's available. Yeah, you don't got to watch it in the moment.
All
right, I don't really watch nothing in the moment no more. You know what I mean? Maybe Lovecraft. I was doing that, not in the moment, but like on the night
on
of.
That week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, on that. Yeah. That and Power. I ain't going to lie, Power too. Yeah, I got front.
Yeah. Old Power done took a hiatus.
Power coming back after the election. Damn. After 50 vote for Trump.
50.
I think that's some bullshit. I mean, think that's a troll.
But it's a powerful troll from, you know what I'm saying, from somebody who got influence. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
yeah.
If it's you know what I'm saying, it's probably a troll, but you know what I'm saying, 50 always looking out for 50 anyway, so it don't really matter. It ain't 50, right. 50 ain't nobody you looking for you know, like, hey, what he say, you know what I'm saying, let me take a look at. You know what I'm saying? 50, you watch his moves and you have to study him for, it's like reading, you know what I'm saying, Machiavelli, you know what I mean? So it's right. Like he playing for his own sake, you know? So
Yeah.
And you had to keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a whole conversation, not even about the 50 thing. The 50 thing kind of came after the conversation, but you know, all of this controversy about Ice Cube and him meeting with Trump or whatever. Me personally, I'm not willing to cancel Ice Cube over this shit.
Because what Ice Cube, he had a plan for Black America or whatever. I don't know what his plan was. But for him to meet with both sides, that just makes fucking sense. You know what I'm saying? Like,
negotiation.
Yeah, it's like, hey, if you going to be in, this is what you need to do for the blacks. And then you go over here. If you going to be in, this is what you need to do for the blacks. I mean, I don't see that as no conflict. But with Trump, if you meet with him, people be like, yo, you cancel, nigga. Like, you can't even talk to the motherfucker because he's so fucking divisive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was my thing. But to that point, like, so we had this conversation. I was talking about that. I was like, yeah, optics-wise, it looks bad. To that same point, Trump is you know, he's polarizing, right? So anybody that's talking to him, you know, you're going to get the stain on him. And they used it. They kind of, because he was talking to these people behind the scenes.
Right.
But then they used it as propaganda. They tweeted the whole shit. We in talks with Ice Cube. You know, they trying to leverage his name or whatever.
Right.
And, but what bugged me out, and it's even beyond this, but the person was like, you know, this is a life or death election. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I say it's game seven for democracy, but I'm saying that just to be funny. But, you know, like, I don't believe it's a life or death. I think we had this conversation a little while ago where, like, I think I was talking to, I don't know if I said it over here, but I found myself one day looking at Mitch McConnell's face.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so fucking angered. I don't want to say triggered. I was angry. Like, I hated this motherfucker. Then I realized at that moment, like, I don't know this cat. I just don't really like his politics. I don't like a lot of things about him. But personally, I don't know him. But the way that I feel, like, I shouldn't even feel like this because there's a disconnect with the fact that, like, I ain't never met this man. He ain't never did nothing to me personally. He ain't never mushed me, did nothing to my people. You know what I'm saying? I don't fuck with his politics. I don't like the way he comes across. He's irksome. But I felt like this motherfucker, like, damn near make your blood pressure go up. You know what I'm saying? Like, similar to Trump and shit. And it made me be like, yo, man, I got to take the emotion out of this shit because we only got limited control. Like, you stay as invested in politics as you can, but, you know, you get to vote once. You know what I'm saying? In the general election, that's really it. You know what I mean? You go for who you go for, and you hope that your person wins. You hope that the majority wins. You hope that the shit isn't rigged or whatever happens.
Right.
But whatever happens, you're gonna have to live through it. Either that or you're gonna die. So, like, when we say, you know what I mean? But, like, when we say, yo, this is life or death, I think the drama in politics, especially over the last maybe 15 years, probably, maybe even 20 years that I can recall, probably even longer than that, but definitely the last 20 years with Bush Jr. and the whole Katrina shit and George Bush don't like black people, and then, you know, people really, you know, Obama being polarizing to white people that can't really fathom a black man telling them what to do or being in power, and then Trump being the swinger, the pedestal, I mean, the pendulum, and he's emboldening these racists and all of these type of people, and he don't really give a fuck about anything. But the way, and with the 24-hour news cycle compounded and everybody kind of like stirring the pot before they even bring you the shit, like, it could make you so emotionally invested in some shit so that you really got limited control in. And that shit ain't the best for your health, or for my health, I'm going to say. So, like, because, you know, because that's like, though, all I could do is vote. That's it. All I could do is vote and hope that my candidate wins. It's like playing the number.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? After that, it is what it is. I'll be involved in, you know, local elections and shit like that. But again, my control is pretty limited, but my emotional investment was way deeper than the control that I got. So that's just how I felt about the shit. I don't know where you at with it. What you think?
I'm not emotionally invested in none of that shit. Because I know I can't control none of that shit. I do my part, keep it moving. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because whatever it is, you got to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? You know, emotionally, Obama won. It felt good to have a black president. But in real life, it was probably my most fucked up times. You know what I'm saying? During his era. You know what I'm saying? The recession hit. It was a whole lot of fucked up shit for me. But I don't blame that on him, per se. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's how politics go. You're supposed to blame it on the motherfucker who was in office. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, Trump is in office right now. Shit is pretty good for me. That don't mean I'm attributing it to Trump. But, right, you know what I'm saying? That's just how shit go. You know what I mean? So I don't get too tied up in all that shit. Like, locally, you're supposed to get involved and do what you got to do because that affects you most, wherever your local municipality shit is. But I don't get too tied up in these characters. They like WWE to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It's like getting too involved with, you know what I mean, with the Iron Sheik or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. the shit is, they just playing their roles. No matter who, right, to me, I ain't nobody. I don't know shit. But to me, whoever in the seat, they got to play the role of CEO to the corporation that already exists. Somebody else controlling that corporation, whoever the shareholders are, they really controlling that corporation while that CEO is in the seat doing his job. So when Obama got elected, I was, you know, my wife was like, oh yeah, black man, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, y'all gonna love him until you have to start killing people and shit. You know what I'm saying? but you know what I'm saying? But if you look at the shit, you know what I'm saying? That's the job. You know what I'm saying? Under Obama, nigga, they killed all the motherfuckers, that whole Middle Eastern section. They locked that whole shit down. You know what I'm saying?
Drone gang.
You know what I'm saying? Osama, motherfucking shit. All the motherfuckers over there. They had Egypt in the uproar. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot going on over there under his watch, you know? Under Trump watch, there's a whole lot of shit going on that we ain't paying attention to. Then the next motherfucker get in, he got to do a whole bunch of shit. You know what I'm saying? Hey, under Trump, it seemed like a whole lot of that shit is being affected here on the ground. You know what I mean? You know, he got his whole little shit with China and all that shit. But really on the ground here is the relationships and the relations in America are fucked up under him. Because it's just the way he pushing shit left and right. You know what I mean? But if you get caught up in that shit, you'll get left behind in this fucking era. I'm not getting left in this era. And I'm moving on to the next shit with whoever the fuck in here or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, shit. What can you control? If they're going to be the president, they're going to be the president.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that, well, I don't want to say that, but I think maybe personally, after Obama, since it was, you know, it was historic, and it was great to see a black president, it made politics a little bit more sexy. You know what I'm saying? So you like, oh shit, I'm into this. I'm fucking with it. I'm watching. It was always good to see him come to the podium and say some smart shit. You know what I mean? Be poised and all of that other shit. But if I think about the rest of my life, I didn't really give
that much of a fuck about who the president was. Like, I knew who they were, but it was very abstract.
Right.
You know, obviously, I wasn't an adult all of that time, but still, like, I, you know, when I think about how much I'm affected personally by the president, it's probably, the percentage is probably very low. Outside of with the Obama shit, like, morale was dope. It felt good. It was right. Like, it was good to see. It was cool symbolically or whatever. But to your point, it was a lot of wild shit going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? America's gonna America.
Yeah, America's gonna America. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Under Bush, they did their thing. They went to war. They went on into Afghanistan. They stole all the poppy fields and shit. You know what I'm saying? They stole the oil line. You know what I'm saying? After him, they got the poppy fields. Then what happened under Obama and shit? You know what I'm saying? You had the opioid addiction shit popping. They got the poppy fields, then the opioid shit popped off. You know what I'm saying? It's strange to me, but you know. Then under Trump, you got a whole nother shit. Like, you got this social unrest. You got the pandemic. You know what I'm saying? But even with the pandemic, you look at the shit, and it's like the real stimulus is coming from, like, the addicts and the dope game and shit. Because you see all the dope dealers is thriving. You know what I'm saying? The dope economy is thriving under Trump. You know what I'm saying? Under the pandemic, where everything is kind of supposed to be at his businesses are being fucked up. And you know what I'm saying? But the, like, it seemed to me, I don't know, the real stimulus looked like it's coming from the streets. You know what I'm saying? It's coming from, you know what I'm saying, the people who are owning the drugs, that are buying the drugs, that are doing more of the drugs, that are drinking more of the alcohol, that are, you know what I'm saying, taking more of the pills during this pandemic shit while you stuck in the house. That shit is booming.
Right, right.
So when you go to the motherfucker and you see the Louis Vuitton store and the line down the block, that shit is very suspicious to me. That shit ain't no stimulus checks because them shit's been gone. You know, so what's the real stimulus? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it ain't the show that we watching on TV. It's the shit that's really popping off.
That's interesting.
Man, it ain't us that's motherfucking winning from that shit. Somebody else winning. The shit is still booming. Under the radar. Why is it supposed to be a recession? Like, why is it supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, all the businesses are down and, you know what I'm saying, the economy is down and the movie theaters are shut down and all this shit. But them goddamn addicts are still using like a motherfucker.
Yeah, ain't got nothing but time. Yeah, they sitting around, ain't got nothing but time.
So where that money go?
That
money go back into the economy. You know what I'm saying?
At least the underworld.
And not even. Because if we look at what Reagan and the Bush senior them did with the Iran-Contra scandal, we understand that money was really going somewhere. Off the books. Mm. They was using the dope money from the original crack era to fund the you know what I'm saying, the Nicaraguan war, whatever fucking war that was, they was funding with dope money. You watch Snowfall. That shit, Snowfall happening right now.
That's some deep shit.
I gotta look into that. I can't even comment that deep, boy. I'm be honest with you. I feel like you just said some shit that's like Lovecraft Country. I gotta really look at what's going on. Like, wait a minute. So that's the stint. Okay, I gotta build me one of them little, you know, the little wire diagrams, the mob boss diagram where you say, okay, look at the trickle down. You're like, oh, shit. The
trickle up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can see the trickle down is obvious. The trickle up. From
the ground up.
The trickle up is the question.
Man, that's deep. Oh, shit. I'm gonna have to look more into that shit. We're going to have to talk more about that shit offline because that I'm going to ask some more pointed questions that I might not want on the podcast. But, yeah, that's some shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What else? Anything else going on with you? Anything else you want to chop it up about?
You know what I'm saying? Today, when this shit come out, it's my wife's birthday. I want to say happy birthday to the queen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's what it is. That's dope.
Yep.
All right. So, there you go. People getting older. Living life in the midst of this pandemic.
Living life.
There you go.
Rear it up.
There it is. Well, shit. All right. Well, until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
Hello, hello. To get in the conversation. We out. Yeah.